morning, congregation. Welcome to the worship service. We also extend a warm welcome to guests who have joined us via the live stream today and guests present here with us. May God be praised through our worship, and may we all be blessed and strengthened by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory's elders and deacons will meet, Lord willing, on Monday evening at 8 o'clock in the consistory room. An attestation has been received from Sister Marissa Denboer from the Free Reformed Church of Kamschot. We welcome this sister in our congregation. Attestations have been requested by Brother Josh Van Duyn, as well as Sister Monique Eichelbaum, to the Free Reformed Church of West Albany. We wish them the Lord's blessing in their new congregation. We have been advised by the Free Reformed Church of Albany that Reverend Elkema has declined the calls extended to him by the Canadian Reformed Church of Glenbrook, Ontario, and the Canadian Reformed Church of Smithers, British Columbia. We have been advised by the Free Reformed Church of Belldivis that candidate Aidan Plug has declined the call that it extended to him. This morning, we may welcome Reverend R. Pott, minister of our sister church at Bunbury, to the pulpit. This afternoon, Elder Van Duyn will lead the worship service. Before we commence this service, let us sing Psalm 75, verse 1.
Please rise and let us worship the Lord, our Maker. We lift up our hearts on high to heaven, where the Lord, our ascended Savior, is at the right hand of God, and we confess with the words of Psalm 124 that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Congregation, receive God's greeting with the words of 1 Corinthians 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join in singing together about the delight of worshipping the Lord, being in his house, coming into his presence. We'll sing from Psalm 84, the verses 2 and 3. As we listen to God's law, which teaches us what sin is, let us also remember what the Lord reveals to us in the gospel. As we read in Romans 5, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But along with that comes the obligation to serve God. As we read in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So we'll listen to God's law from Exodus 20, where God calls us to live in his ways by the strength of his Spirit. And God addresses us as he spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us now, in response to God's law, sing about being in the courts of his salvation, which is ours by grace in Christ alone. We'll sing from Psalm 84, the verses 5 and 6.
Thank you.
Let us unite in prayer and ask the Lord for his blessing over our worship. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we have come, whether in person or even if we're worshiping from our homes, Lord, we want to give you our worship. For you are worthy of our worship. Our act of worship, Father, is first of all about giving you, the Lord God, the honor, the praise, the glory that you deserve. For Father, you are worthy of praise from every mouth. You are worthy of confession from every tongue. You are worthy of worship from every creature, for your name is great. You are the creator of heaven and earth by your mighty word. And you are the one who comes in love and redemption to your people. And so we, Father, gathered here, we in our homes, following with live stream, we honor you, we adore you. We do so together with the church that has gone ahead of us and is with you. We do so together with the angels who even now praise your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And Father, it is good to come together and to give you honor and to have our hearts fixed on you, the Lord God. For it is by focusing our attention on you, O Lord, that we enjoy life and the warmth of grace. Outside of your presence, Father, there is only eternal spiritual distancing, death, eternal death. And with you there is life and redemption. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we do not worship you as we should. On the contrary, despite your high place as the Almighty King in so many ways, Lord, we sin against you. In our actions, in our deeds, and also our thoughts. We do not love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do not love our neighbor as ourselves. In so many ways, we fall short of the perfection that you demand of us, rightly. And so, Father, graciously forgive us. Look upon us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us repentant hearts. And we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to grieve over our sins and help us also at the same time to be assured of your grace. We pray, Father, that also as we listen to your word this morning, we may be reminded of how you are a sun and a shield to us and how you have revealed your goodness to us, that we may bask in the warmth of the gospel of redemption and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might delight in him. And that, Father, we so may be encouraged as we journey in this life, as we journey to the New Jerusalem, where we will dwell with you forever. Father, to that end, we pray for your blessing over the proclamation of your word. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, keep us from all distractions. Help us fix our hearts and our minds on you, our God and our Savior. And so, Father, by your Spirit, strengthen us and encourage us. For, Lord, we are in need of that. There are so many distractions, not merely when we worship you, but in our lives. Our hearts so easily can be drawn to focus on the things that are passing and temporary. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that by your Spirit you will fix our hearts on what is eternal. And that you would help us seek the things that are above. We pray, Heavenly Father, that through your word, you will guide our hearts, our minds, by your truth. And that in this way, we might look to you and serve you. And that you would strengthen us in our resolve to honor you day by day. And that you will bring us to the New Jerusalem by the strength of your Spirit. So, Father, may we be encouraged. And may you be glorified. We pray that, Father, for your people of this congregation and for your people around the world, that you this day may be honored through them. For Christ's sake alone we pray. Amen. This morning we open the Word of God to the book of Psalms, and we will read from the psalm that we have been singing from, Psalm 84. And the text that we'll be focusing on this morning is also from this psalm. Psalm 84. This is the word of the Lord. To the choir master, according to the Giddith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. In preparation for the proclamation of God's word, let us sing from Psalm 43, a psalm in which we pray that the Lord would bring us to the destination of worshipping at his altar, and where we also pray for him to guide us along the way, which he does through his word. Psalm 43, we'll sing the verses 3 and 4.
Thank you.
This morning we'll listen to God's word as it comes to us from Psalm 84, and we'll focus especially on what we read in verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And after the administration of God's word in response, we will sing from a psalm that speaks about traveling to Zion, to Jerusalem, Psalm 121, the verses 1 through 4. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a couple of months ago, we couldn't do this. As a result of various restrictions that were in place, we couldn't come together and worship as churches. And even though, under current restrictions, it can still only be with part of the congregation, some of us follow by live stream at home. Nonetheless, we are able, in some capacity, to worship again in person. And is that something that you're glad about? Are you glad to be here? And if you're at home, do you want to be here? Christians should be glad about coming to church, because that is what Christian pilgrims traveling through this life, that's where they want to be. Because it's here that we worship the Lord and we come into his presence. And we come together with our fellow believers, with whom we have fellowship. And more importantly, we come together with our God, with whom by grace we have fellowship. And like the pilgrims of old, we celebrate a religious festival every Lord's Day. We rejoice in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come together and we give our God, our Savior, honor and praise. Now, there are times where Christians are prevented from worshiping the Lord in person. And that is why some of us may be in our homes this morning. The Bible also speaks about that, and there are psalms like Psalm 42 where the believer can't go to the temple. It's a psalm of pain, the pain of social distancing, the pain of spiritual distancing, where the believer can't go with the throng and he remembers it with longing. And there are also psalms like Psalm 122 and Psalm 84, this morning psalm, that speak of the time where that social distancing, that spiritual distancing is over, and that speak of the joy of being with fellow believers and coming together to worship the Lord, where there's no more restrictions, where there's no more distancing, where instead there is fellowship. That is what our verse is focusing on this morning. Whether you're here in person or whether you're following via live stream, the point really is, where's your heart? Where do you want to be this morning? Is your heart, as our text says, is in your heart the highways to Zion? Is that your desire? The road to Zion, the place where God was worshipped. Is that your longing? Well, says Psalm 84, if that is your longing, whether you are here or whether you're at home, if that's your longing, then Psalm 84 says you are blessed. If it is your longing to be that pilgrim, to go to God's holy place, Psalm 84 says you are blessed. Now, the idea of a pilgrimage was one very familiar to the Old Testament readers. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were obliged to worship the Lord in the temple at least three times a year for the special feasts. And that's why these feasts were sometimes even described as the pilgrim feasts, because that's what they would do. They would be pilgrims and they would travel to Jerusalem. And typically that involved quite a few more challenges than what it would have involved for those of you who did come to church this morning, where you step in your vehicle and you cruise down the road, you got your cruise control on, it's comfortable, and you arrive hopefully safely. But in Old Testament days, to journey to Jerusalem would involve a lot of threats and dangers along the way. You may have to contend with wild animals. There might be robbers who would spring upon you along the road. There would be treacherous stretches of mountainous terrain. And so then you can understand all the more the joy of the pilgrim who arrives at Zion. In his heart are those highways to Zion, and he comes there. But Psalm 84 is not just about that journey to Jerusalem, but it also has in view for us this morning a much wider perspective. Because the Bible makes it clear that there's another sense that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are also pilgrims. In the book of Genesis, Jacob describes his whole life as a pilgrimage. And that's terminology that comes back in the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrews, in the letters of Peter. The men and the women of faith, they're called strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that is because, as believers, there's more to life than meets the eye. We're not just on a journey to church, as we were this morning. No, in our lives, we are on a journey to the heavenly Zion. We are traveling to the heavenly temple, and one day, all of us will have to appear before God, our Maker, our Judge. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is at the same time our Savior. And so we are traveling to a heavenly temple. We are journeying to a better place, and we're on the road to a new heaven and a new earth. And we will dwell with God forever, where there will be an end of all social and spiritual distancing, and we will be in his presence forever. Congregation, that's part of our gladness today. But at the same time, we also know that traveling to that heavenly Zion is sometimes really difficult. Because just like for the Old Testament pilgrim, there were dangers, for the New Testament pilgrims, there are many dangers as well. The road that your life goes through may involve very challenging terrain. And there are spiritual enemies who assault you. You don't know what lies ahead around the next corner. Let's face it. January the 1st, how many of us could ever have anticipated what the first half of this year looked like? We had no idea. And the reality is we've still got no idea of what the next half of the year will look like. So how can we be sure that we're going to be safe on our journey as pilgrims to the New Jerusalem? How are we going to get the strength and the encouragement for those tough moments where we feel really alone and where we're discouraged and where we're going through really difficult, painful stretches? Well, the Lord has brought you here today to remind you of the answer. And the answer is given here in Psalm 84. It's when the Lord is our strength. And that's why verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." Today, the Lord fixes our eyes again on our strength, on our Lord Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has laid down his life for us. And we can be confident that he will give us the strength we need to walk on this road of faith and obedience, and that he will bring us safely to that new Jerusalem. And that's why, congregation, We're glad to be here this morning. We're glad to follow along because we are reminded together this morning with our fellow pilgrims. We're encouraged and we're reminded of where our real strength is as we journey to God. And so I proclaim to you God's word as it comes to us from Psalm 84 using this theme. The Lord grants the blessing of strength to pilgrims who trust in him. And we'll consider firstly how this involves blessing for Old Testament pilgrims, and secondly, how this involves blessing for New Testament pilgrims. So the Lord grants the blessing of strength to pilgrims who trust in him. Firstly, we hear about the blessing for Old Testament pilgrims. Now, if you were to pick what the key words of Psalm 84 are, what would you pick? Well, if you skim through the psalm, you'll notice that one word that comes back multiple times is the word home or dwelling place or house. Now, that's an image we can identify with, a home, a house, a dwelling place, that's where you live. And that's a word that occurs throughout the psalm. Verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place. And verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And verse 10, the house of my God. So what the focus of the psalm is God's dwelling place, the house where he dwells. And in the Old Testament, the Lord had a tabernacle first, later a temple, where his people would come to worship him and where his presence was very closely associated with. And because Psalm 84 then is about that house, that home of God, the temple, that's why it has this flavor of a pilgrimage psalm. In fact, the title even tells us that it's a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, we know about that. This is a family of singers in the temple. And so these are people who are closely associated with and involved in the worship of the Lord and with everything that happens at the house of God. But at the same time, this psalm addresses the pilgrims who are traveling there on the highways. Because not everyone was a son of Korah and would live in Jerusalem and could go to the temple regularly. And that's why verse 5 speaks about those whose heart, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. These are those whose concern in their heart is those roads to Jerusalem. And even though they're not there, they want to be there and they're thinking about traveling there. That's a pilgrim mindset. Their focus is on that destination, Jerusalem, the house of God, where they want to be. So if the first word is house or home, a second key word of the psalm is the word blessed. Now, if you look carefully at the psalm, you'll notice that it can be divided up into three sections. And in each of these sections, you find the word blessed. There's verses 1 through 4, then there's verses 5 through 8, and then you get verses 9 through 12. And corresponding to each of these three parts of the psalm, there's a beatitude. What's a beatitude? It's like the Lord Jesus had the statements of blessedness in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what you find here, a beatitude, a statement of blessing corresponding to each of these sections. And in each case, these beatitudes are connected with being in God's house. You see, our two key words are joined. The first of them is in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. The second one's in verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. In his heart are the highways to Zion. And the third one is in verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. So why then is this blessedness connected with being in God's house. Well, the psalmist uses a number of images to describe this state of blessing connected with being in God's house. That's why he expresses in verse 3 a kind of an envy over the birds, like sparrows and swallows, and they would, from time to time, literally make their nests in the temple courts. And he says in verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. In fact, in verse 10, he says that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live in the tents of wickedness. But the psalm not only describes the person who's in God's house as blessed, it also describes the person who wants to be there as blessed. Yes, those of us who are here, but also those who are not here, whose heart is set on the roads to here. And that's where verse 5 comes in. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The blessedness isn't just for those who are there, but it's for those who are traveling there, those who want to be there. Because you could be in church and your heart could be very far from here. And you could not be in church and your heart could very, very much be wanting to be here. And those are the ones who are blessed. Blessedness is for the pilgrims whose heart is set on this journey to Jerusalem. Now, the pilgrims of Psalm 84 sometimes also had difficult journeys. And verse 6 tells us that these pilgrims go through the Valley of Baca. Now, we're not 100% sure what that may refer to. It could refer to an actual place with that name. The word Baca can also refer to balsam trees. It could refer to a particularly arid or maybe dry stretch on the road to Jerusalem. The word Baca can also mean weeping. You've probably heard the expression a vale of tears, valley of tears. And that's an expression that comes from some rhymed versions of this psalm, which speak about the Valley of Baca as a vale of tears. Now, whichever is the precisely intended meaning, what is common to them all is that this is a rough stretch. And yet, this rough stretch is described by the psalmist as becoming, for the pilgrim, a place of springs. So, despite this difficult valley, he's refreshed, he's strengthened, he's blessed. So having seen then our two key words, house and blessed, and how they're connected, blessed with being in God's house, blessed in traveling there, that then raises the question, why would you be blessed for wanting to be in the house of God? Was this temple such a beautiful building? And is that what is meant by verse 1? How lovely is your dwelling place? Is this a fascination with church architecture? With perhaps the beautifully designed basins and altars and the carving and the pictures of cherubim and palm trees or gold? Or that today we might marvel over a church building and speak about how beautiful it looks? Is that what the psalmist is doing? Well, the answer is no. In fact, if you really think it through, there are many reasons to consider that going to God's house in the Old Testament, this was not a pleasant place to visit. It was beautifully designed. Absolutely. But there is a sense in which God's house in the Old Testament was not a nice place to be. Consider what happened there. The temple was a place blood. And we're not talking about a little bit of blood. We're talking about a lot of blood. Because there are animals brought there. Constantly, streams of them. And why were they brought there? To be killed. To be killed, and particularly the blood would be poured out. To be sacrificed. So what we need to associate with the temple is this image of lots of blood and the smell of burned meat. This is not exactly something pleasant on the eyes or on the nose. And what's more, the message of these activities involving blood and sacrifice, the message is even more unpleasant than the blood. Because what's the blood about? Why did those animals get killed? Well, the message of this blood is, if you're a sinner, you deserve to die. That's the message the pilgrim would hear at the temple through what would happen there. The message was, God's holy. And you're a sinner. And God is so holy, he cannot accept anyone as a sinner. God punishes sin. Sin deserves death. What does sin lead to? Not just social distancing, not just restrictions, but spiritual distancing. Sin leads to eternal death. Sin leads to an eternal separation from God, and there's no end to that. So why would you want to go to the temple and hear that message? To see that unpleasant sight, to have that unpleasant smell, to get that unpleasant message? Why would you want to come to church where there's this message, where you constantly get to hear this sin word and be reminded that you deserve death? Why would there be people who want to be in that house? That they would want to journey there and go on those highways? And why would they be described as being blessed for that? Well, the answer lies in the further meaning of that blood. Yes, the blood did tell a terrible message, and we need to hear that message in the preaching as well. We need to be reminded that if we think we are bad, well, we are probably far worse than what we even realize. We need to be reminded that God is so pure in his holiness, he cannot stand sin. We need to be reminded that sin does deserve death, eternal social and spiritual distancing. I deserve that. You deserve that. We don't deserve to be here, none of us. But the blood of the temple at the same time gave a most wonderful message about salvation and about an escape from this punishment. Because it said to the Israelite pilgrim, there's blood, but look whose blood? Not your blood. Look who is receiving the punishment for your sins. Look who dies. It's not you. No, God gives you a substitute, an animal. In the Old Testament, a lamb in your place, a lamb picturing the great Lamb of God, Jesus, the Messiah, who will come. And his blood is going to be poured out. And on the cross, he is going to experience the most horrible social and spiritual distancing of all, being rejected and having the face of the Father turn away from him. His blood is poured out so that yours does not have to be. How terrible it is when you think about what happens on the cross. Far more terrible than the things happening in this world with social distancing and even death. No, what happens on the cross, we see a snapshot of the wrath of God against sin. We see a snapshot of what we deserve. That's what the Israelites saw in the temple. A snapshot of something horrible and yet something wonderful. A substitute. How wonderful is that basic message that the pilgrim would hear at the temple, that through the coming Messiah, God accepted them. Their sins were washed away. And they were received by God. Do you understand now the desire of the pilgrim to go to Zion? This in the Old Testament already, was the desire of someone who was a believer, someone who trusted in the Lord, someone who knew that the Lord gives salvation by grace through the coming Messiah. Having in your heart the highways to Zion, this is someone who knows that through the blood of the coming Messiah, there's fellowship with God. The believer loved the house of God not because he loved architecture or because he loved blood. It's because he loved the Lord of the house, the Lord who saved him, the Lord who loved him. And that's why when you keep looking at the psalm, you'll notice that actually the real focus isn't the house, but it's the God who lives in the house. The real focus isn't the beauty of the building. It's the beauty of the inhabitant. And that's why verse 2 says, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Yes, the pilgrim delights in this God and the message that this God gives him in his house. Verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord bestows favor and honor. The pilgrim wants to be here because here he has the good news that the Lord lives with him. The Lord accepts him through the coming Messiah. And that because of that Messiah, Jesus Christ, he is allowed to live with God forever. Do you see why the pilgrim is described here as blessed? He is blessed because though he's a sinner, like you and me, he has the forgiveness of his sins. He is blessed because in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's allowed to live with God forever. He is blessed because he, with us today, receives the promise of Revelation 21, verse 3. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. The complete and final end to all spiritual distancing. And that brings us to our second point, blessing for New Testament pilgrims. Because I think by now you see that even though the church today as a building is quite different from the temple of the Old Testament, and we do not bring animals, we do not sacrifice, we do not have blood, yet there's a very definite parallel. Because here we hear the message of blood. We hear the message of Christ and him crucified, and we see signs and symbols in baptism and Lord's Supper that point to that blood. And so our hearts also want to come here to worship because it's here that we get the gospel of salvation in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, let that be the question that you ponder on. Where is your heart set on? If you were to map in your heart a highway to what is most important to you, where would that highway really lead? Or is it quick go to church, quick go home, I've got more important things to do? Or, yes, I know I'm in the group that can go to church, but it's easier to stay home. Or, yeah, I better just follow along because that's what you do, and then I've got other stuff to do. What's your real focus? Congregation, by his word, the Lord wants you to set your heart on Zion and him. He wants to liberate us from our foolishness of becoming captivated with things that don't last. He doesn't want us to end up being eternally distanced from him. And that's why he comes, he brings us here, he makes us hear the word to remind us and to set our heart on him and on Zion. He also brings us to hear that message every Sunday again, to hear that gospel, to hear that bad news that we are sinners and that we deserve punishment, but to hear also the good news that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's died for our sins, and that all who believe in him and trust in him are saved and will arrive in that new Jerusalem. And that's why, brothers and sisters, let us want to be here. Let us make it a priority to hear that message. Let us set our hearts on that message, because there can be nothing more important, more uplifting, to know that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for my sins and your sins. And that apart from that, I would die eternally and be shut out, distanced from God's dwelling in eternity. But that in Christ I'm received. And that in church with God's people, I can hear that message in the preaching. And I can taste it. I can see it in Lord's Supper. Is that not a wonderful thing? And congregation, if it's wonderful now, well, it gets better. It gets better, because this psalm not only speaks about the blessings that we have on our pilgrimage, it also points to the blessing of where we end up when the pilgrimage is over. Our pilgrimage doesn't end by attending church, because you go home and your life continues, and maybe right now you are going through a veil of tears. This is a pit stop. A temporary pit stop for your encouragement to get new spiritual tires on your car, as it were. But the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm is when you enter God's dwelling in heaven. And that may be the day the Lord calls you home. It may be if our Lord and Savior returns, whichever comes first. That's what this psalm is ultimately pointing to. The day where you actually enter. And you're there with the angels, and you were there with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and served the Lord. Won't that be amazing? There we are as sinners. To know that through Jesus our sins are covered, and we're dressed in white spiritual robes, and the Lord accepts us into his presence forever. And what Psalm 84 wants to encourage us is that we will arrive there by the strength the Lord gives. He will bring us there. Our strength, says verse 5, is in you. That means, regardless of where your path winds, yes, even if your path is going through a really rough stretch, or if it has gone through rough stretches, or it will go through rough stretches, painful stretches, maybe stretches as you've experienced social isolation, maybe far worse. And yet God will bring you to that destination. Now, the reality is our journeys are different, and while our journeys today meet in this building, or perhaps as part of this congregation, there are people who are part of this church who haven't been born here in Australia. There are people who have been born in the Netherlands and Canada and different parts of Asia. And there are people born in various parts of the world, people from different ethnic backgrounds. And the Lord, in our life, places different travelers alongside us. He may give you a husband and wife. He might take away that husband or wife. He may place fellow believers who are sitting with you in the pew now, and then others of them may go. We heard announcements about attestations in, attestations out. That's how life works. God puts different people in our path, and for a stretch our path merges and we walk alongside each other, and then our paths may diverge, and that can be hard. And we can get lonely. Sometimes the pilgrimage of a believer is really short, and another time the pilgrimage for a person is really long and they wish it were shorter. But the point here is, your strength isn't in the people you are walking alongside. Oh, the Lord can use them to encourage you, and he does. And they can be a great blessing while they're alongside us. But when the Lord takes them away, or when there's a path which goes for a stretch where we alone, he does not go away. No, just like we will be in his presence forever, so already now he, by his Spirit, is with us now. And by his Spirit, he dwells with us. Yes, that's also part of God's answer to social and spiritual distancing. It's his presence not only in eternity, his presence not only on Sundays, but his presence every day of your life, that he, by his grace and his Spirit, because you've been bought with the blood of your Savior, he is with you by his Spirit, and he will carry you on those moments that you feel you can't keep going. Brothers and sisters, we know that being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't mean life is all smooth. We are not singing Psalm 150 every day of our life, and there are times we probably don't want to sing it. And for the Old Testament pilgrim, there were very difficult patches, and perhaps you can identify with that. There are pilgrims here who've had cancer, who've lost husband or a wife, or children, or parents, or to deal with physical illnesses or mental illnesses or very painful things in the lives of their children or maybe their grandchildren or maybe other family members or dear friends. Pilgrims who've had strains in relationships or maybe difficulties in the workplace, financial struggles, maybe things that other people know about, maybe really deep hurts and secrets that nobody else knows about. But the Lord knows. And he will bring you to your destination. And that's why the Lord himself is the one who says to you, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Even as you walk through the valley of Baca, and even as there are tears, yet you receive a fresh refreshment, yet you keep going because the Lord will carry you. And that's why, as the psalm says, you can go from strength to strength. It's his strength. It's his Spirit. It's his grace. It's not us. And we look back and we say, how on earth did I get to the New Jerusalem? There are so many places I could have just gone the other way, and God carried me and he brought me. This life may have many valleys of tears, and they aren't necessarily going to stop this week just because you heard this sermon. But the Lord says to you today, my son, my child, my daughter, that's why you come to church, because that's where I remind you of Jesus Christ. That's where I remind you of the grace that purchased you. That's where I remind you of your home to where you're going, and that's where I remind you of my blessing and my strength and my grace that is going to bring you there. And so rest on that and rely on that and come to church and delight in the preaching of the gospel and use the sacraments and find refreshment in this veil of tears, because that's what's going to give you strength to keep going. And I will be your son and your shield, and I'll give you favor and honor. Verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so, congregation, fix your eyes on him. Have your heart set on him. Make a highway to him. Don't get caught up on your circumstances, where you can talk for hours about all your problems and very little about the Lord. Oh, you can rejoice in circumstances. You can rejoice in the companions God gives you, but they aren't your real strength. No, your strength is the Lord. Even your companions, they're sinners like you, and they are going to disappoint you. And so it is the Lord who will preserve you and bring you to the end of your pilgrims till, as verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, there are believers today who are following via live stream. They're not appearing here today. But each of God's people will appear before God in Zion. That will happen one day for everyone who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what is promised in the book of Revelation will become a reality. God dwelling with his people, and we will stand before God, and we won't be afraid because our sins are covered, and we can rejoice in grace, and we can enjoy it and delight in it and praise God for it forever in our eternal home, which is not only his home, but it becomes our home. Congregation, let that message lift up your heart. Let it fill you with resolve to set your heart on him. Let it remind you of the blessedness that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, be warned, if there's a highway in your heart that goes in a different direction, and if you are not resting in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in him, even if you in body are in church, but if your heart is far from him, then be warned, because if we persist in that, then there will in the end be an eternal veil of tears. Then there will be no refreshment, because God is not fooled by outward appearances. And then ultimately, even if we showed up in church, if our hearts are far from him, then ultimately there will be an eternity of social and spiritual distancing, an eternity of tears. And so let us instead not make that mistake. Let us, in faith, rest in Christ's work as it was proclaimed through the bloody sacrifices of the Old Testament, as it is proclaimed from the pulpit in the preaching. Let us delight in that message, because when we do that, the Lord himself says to you, you are blessed. And you will appear before me in Zion. I will not lock you out. Despite all your sins, when you come with the blood of the Savior, they're covered and you are welcomed forever. You may sit at table with Abram and Isaac and Jacob. You may sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. You are part of his bride. Enter into my presence. Yes, congregation, what is the direction of the highways of your heart? How important is it to you to come to church? How important is the heavenly Zion to you? How are you living your life? Are you living as a pilgrim? Do you realize this is temporary? And the money you have and the possessions you have and even the problems you have, it's temporary. Or are you set on making this world your home, your permanent castle? Brothers and sisters, the Lord today wants to encourage us, because he knows that there is much to distract pilgrims. He knows how foolish we are, how quickly we lose our focus, how quickly we get discouraged, how quickly we even get lost. And so he today fixes our hearts on him. Make him your reference point. Set your heart on course to Zion. That will be the day, not just when the whole church can come and assemble in this building, but we can look forward to the day where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us now, in response, sing together from one of the pilgrim songs of ascents, the song that speaks of our journey to Jerusalem and of God's care as we travel there, Psalm 121, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. In our prayer this morning, we will remember with thankfulness that in the past week, Brother Yitzhak de Hope received good news from the doctors that he is cancer-free. We'll also pray for Brother and Sister Ben and Marinda Vanderkamp that they've received news that the approvals necessary from the respective governments for them to travel to PNG, the necessary approvals are in place at the end of a long process, and they plan to go in the coming month so that he can begin his task as mission support worker. In our prayer, we'll also remember the calls that we heard about in the announcements already. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so deeply thankful for grace. And we praise you, Lord, for the bounty and abundance that you pour out on us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that in him you really do forgive all our sins, and that in him we really will live in your house forever. And Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with the full assurance of the gospel of forgiveness of sins, and remove from us all doubts and uncertainties, and help us to rest on his sacrifice and to find joy in him. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are also mindful of our weaknesses and insensitivity, and that you know, Lord, that we can so easily get distracted and waylaid. And so we thank you, Father, that again this morning you have fixed our hearts on the gospel and reminded us of the rich perspective that you would have us look upon our lives on. And we pray, Father, that you will, precisely as you have promised, keep us safe forever, that we may arrive safely at the New Jerusalem. And so, Lord, may your strength pilot us, may your power preserve us, may your wisdom instruct us, may your hand protect us, and may your shield direct and defend us. May the heavenly hosts guard us against all the snares of evil and the temptations of the world. And by your Spirit sustain us, that we, Father, may obtain the complete victory and give you also perfect praise when we will do so together with all the saints of all times and of all places. Father, we do thank you for the many blessings that you do give us as we travel en route. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of a congregation, and that as we journey, we are not alone, but may walk together with your people. And so we pray for your blessing of the bonds of fellowship in this church, the Free Reformed Church of Southern River, that you'd bless the communion of saints. We pray that you would also bless the work of the office bearers, the minister, Reverend Poppy, the work of the elders and deacons. We pray, Heavenly Father, that through them and through the love and care and support of each other, we may experience your nearness and may rejoice in your goodness and care as you show it to us through them and through us all. And so we pray that you would bind us together as a church in our Lord Jesus Christ, especially in these times where we're not able to worship with the entire congregation, times where there are unique challenges and temptations. Lord, we do thank you that you've also blessed the decisions of the authorities, that we are now at least able to worship together in some capacity. And we thank you, Father, for our government leaders, and we thank you for blessing their decisions in this way, and we ask that you would continue to guide them and that you would give them wisdom in the many weighty decisions that they have to make. Give them health, help them to make wise decisions that are a benefit to this country. And Lord, at the same time, we do not put our trust in them, but we put our trust in you. We also pray, Father, for your people throughout the world, especially those who are experiencing real hardship in these troubled times. Be with those who suffer persecution and oppression for your name's sake. Lord, we lay the needs of your church across the world before you, praying that you will supply your people with what they need in all their circumstances and safely bring them to the New Jerusalem, that you may be praised for the grace and care that you have given to your people. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for the care that you show us over our lives, and with our brother Yitzhak de Hope, we give you thanks for the good news that he could receive in the past week from doctors that he is cancer-free. We thank you, Father, for the joy that he can have with this news, and we continue to commend our brother into your care, that you will sustain and encourage him, that he may continue to live out of your grace and delight in your goodness to him. We pray that, Father, for each of us. There are also others in the congregation who have experienced health difficulties or experienced trials and ongoing challenges and difficulties and concerns. Support us and encourage us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and sustain us, especially in those moments where we are weak. Uphold us with your unfailing goodness, and help us, Father, that we may not lose zeal, but in times of prosperity, we may continue to be enthusiastic in your service, and in times of adversity, we may go forward with patient endurance and trust. Lord, we also pray for your blessing over the ministry of the gospel, not only here, but around the world. We pray for your blessing over the ministers who serve our churches. We pray that you would also supply our churches with ministers. And we pray that you would continue to bless Reverend Elkemar in his continuing ministry in the Church of Albany, that you bless him and his wife and family, and that through them the gospel of our Savior may be proclaimed, and that he may faithfully encourage your people with your word. Lord, at the same time, we know there are ongoing vacancies abroad and in our own country. And so we pray especially for the Church of Valdivis, who've received news that candidate Aidan Plug has declined their call. Lord, we commend them, their office bearers, their congregation into your care, that you would encourage them, that they may receive this news in faith. And Lord, we also know that you know who will be their next pastor and shepherd, and we pray that the time before the next minister comes there will not be a lengthy one. Provide also for other churches where there are vacancies. We also pray for those who are still considering calls. We pray that you would bless candidate Plug as he prepares to begin his ministry in one of the churches in Canada and Langley. We also pray for other candidates and for young men who are training for the ministry, that they may so be equipped and prepared to bring your word. Heavenly Father, we also pray for the proclamation of the gospel in Papua New Guinea, that your word may spread and that those who hear it may receive it gladly, and that it may also find root, and that the evil one may not snatch away your word from the hearts of those who delight in it, but that the young Christians may be strengthened and encouraged in their faith. Bless the missionary, Reverend De Jong and his family. Bless also mission support workers. And we give you thanks, Father, for the news that we could hear that Brother and Sister Ben and Marinda Vanderkamp have received the appropriate approvals to travel to Papua New Guinea. And we thank you, Father, that you have opened the way for this. And we pray that you would bless them as a family as they complete their final preparations, and that you would also make them a blessing to the work there. Lord, we pray that you would bless us this day, that the encouragement we receive from your word may continue to encourage us in the coming week, and that you would help us to live in joy and in expectation in light of your grace to us, looking upward to you for strength and looking forward to you to the day when we will be with you forever. We submit our prayer in the name and on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. As part of your gratitude and worship to the Lord, your gifts are asked in support of needy students, and Consistory asks you to contribute your financial gifts either by electronic banking if you are following with live stream or via the door collection when leaving the building. As we consider our financial obligations to the Lord, let us remember the words of our Saviour that we seek first the kingdom of God, also with material things. As he says in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us now rise for our final song, and we will sing together about the blessedness that we look forward to as pilgrims as we travel with heads high to the New Jerusalem. Hymn 71, the verses 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord with the words of Numbers 6 and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.